Today we want to look at another prayer in the Bible, one we've looked at before, but this is in the Mark account, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. It's about a Gentile showing her faith, and there's just such a strong underlying message here in this whole thing about the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord. We had this Gentile showing her faith in the Matthew account, and in the Matthew account it very clearly shows three rebukes that she gets. A couple of the rebukes aren't really mentioned in the Mark account here. But we see in what had happened here in the preceding time, there was this big argument with the Pharisees and Jesus, and they said, "Your disciples are not washing their hands before they eat." And that was a big deal to them. Even more tragic was what they associated that with. They associated that with once they washed their hands, they were clean. And whoever didn't wash their hands were unclean. I'm not just talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. And so they were on a pedestal because they washed their hands in the right manner, and therefore they were set apart as being special and in effect, we would call it today saved. I don't think they really termed that in those days really, but they were special and everybody else was a Gentile dog, right? And so Jesus talks to him here about it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, at what comes out. And, you know, right the three verses before this prayer here for the Syrophoenician woman, it says, verse 21 of chapter 7 of Mark, I'll go back to 20. And Jesus said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Now, I would add, on the trip I've just been to, every one of those things is alive and well throughout the world. Not only here, but everywhere else. But now we see Jesus going out of about 40 miles from Capernaum to Tyre and Sidon. This is the area known as Phoenicia. It's a Gentile area. And he wants rest, it would seem, because it says he enters a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. I'm not sure that's really too accurate. I think she was a Gentile. The Jews in those days called everybody either Greeks or Jews, but not all non-Jews were Greeks. She's actually a Syrian living in Phoenicia, a Syrophoenician woman. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth is what it says, and she kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now just notice the disadvantage that this situation is. First, we've got a woman. A woman is a great disadvantage in that culture. A woman was never to approach a man, certainly never to approach a rabbi. A Jewish, particularly a Gentile, and a Gentile woman even more so was prohibited to speak to a Jew or to a rabbi. But she has that going against her. Her nationality is against her because she's not Jewish. She has the disciples against her. She even had Jesus against her, it seemed, for a period here, because he rebukes her twice. She had Satan against her because a demon was occupying her daughter's body. And so she has all these things working against her, but yet she comes and falls at his feet. And so when we look at that, we look at our faith and we look at, you know, we may have one of those four or five things and we think we're really in a big problem, you know. But she's in a serious situation here. But she's desperate, and desperate situations call for desperate means. Now, when she first went to the Lord, he rebuked her, and the disciples told her to get out of there and so forth, and she kept coming back. Now we have the third rebuke here in the Gospel of Mark account, because Jesus says to her in verse 27, "Let the children be filled first," talking about Israel here. "Let the children of Israel be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread," the Israelis' bread, "and throw it to the Gentiles, to the little dogs, to the little puppies." And normally you would have thought that she would have finally got the message that no, after the third rebuke, I guess it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But we see such evidence of her faith here because she says, yes, Lord. Isn't that amazing? When you see discouragement, do you say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And the Lord is recognizing her here of her great faith, knowing that she knows the power of the Lord, the power of His mercy, the power of His strength is such that she doesn't need the full amount. She just needs a crumb, just a crumb. And then Jesus says to her in verse 29, for this saying, so notice that. Now, in the Matthew account, it says, because of your faith, and they're both the same thing, because of her belief in the power of the Lord here, and because of her faith, Jesus says to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. So, the prayer has been answered. Now, we know in the Matthew account, in 33 words, at least in the New King James account, this woman from a nobody has come to Jesus' statement, is great is your faith. And there were only twice that he offered that. And both were to non-Jews. One was to the centurion. And when the centurion came and said, heal my servant. And the other one's right here. And it's interesting, the great is your faith. He says that. And here's to the woman. Now, there are four miracles with the women, I believe. There's the woman of Nain whose son was healed. There's Peter's mother-in-law who was healed. There's the Lazarus situation where Lazarus was raised with Mary and Martha. And then here is the fourth one, not necessarily in that order. But we see here that this is a situation where a Gentile is reached because of her faith. And we have that same thing with the centurion. And in both cases, Jesus healed the question without even being with the people, right? We have no record here that the daughter is with her. Same with the centurion. You know, he was not there, but he was healed from afar. And so we see that happening here, and it tells us of the great faithfulness of our Lord, that we, if we come to Him, if we have the faith, then we can expect Him to respond. So we see her accepting her position, her place. We see her believing in the Word of God. We see her persisting in her plea, and that is answered. Now, we know that the only other time we have in Matthew 11, the people of Tyre and Sidon were really expressed as non-believers. They said, you know, the faith of Tyre and Sidon is not really existing. He mentioned that when he's talking about Chorazin and Bethsaida. But here she has great faith. So it takes God at His word and will not let go until God meets the need. Not respecting the sight, not respecting what you see, but what you don't see, right? We read in 2 Corinthians, what? The light afflictions of the moment are working in us a far greater, exceeding eternal weight of glory. Not on the things we see, but on the things which we don't see. For the things we see are temporary, but the things we don't see are eternal. So we see His faithfulness here. And then it would be our question, I guess, Lord, increase our faith. He says, great is your faith to this woman. What would He say to you and to me as He would describe our faith? Is it great? Is it fairly good? Is it weak? Is it what? And that's a question between him and between us. But are we content to turn the impossible things over to the Lord and to trust Him? How would you describe your peace of God? Peace of God, I believe, is submitting all things to the Lord, trusting Him because He knows the end from the beginning. And rather than trying to figure it all out ourselves, we can just be content in putting it into His hands. And so how are you in doing that? And that's something that we all would like to probably do better, but at any rate, He is faithful, is He not? So as we go to prayer this morning, recognize that He is faithful. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We know we have that promise in the Word. And if He hears us, He will grant us the petitions that we ask. So let us respond now to the Spirit, and let's keep our prayers relatively short as the Spirit leads you. But whoever is praying, May we all agree in one accord, because we're all responding to the same Spirit, right? So we're all praying together. And so let's just concentrate on what's being prayed, not necessarily thinking, oh, I'm going to think up some really spectacular prayer here when it's my turn. And, you know, the words aren't going to impress the Lord. So let's just, like the woman says, heal me, save me. It's those kinds of things that he responds to in the Word. We know that. Father, thank you for this a little study on your faithfulness to the Gentile woman, a woman with no position, and rebuked by everybody, it would seem, and yet she continued to pursue and continued to believe, and then the Lord answered her prayer and said, great is your faith. So, Lord, we have weak faith, but we don't come in our faith strong. We come in your faithfulness in this time of prayer. Lead us now, I pray, and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.